This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
11 minutes after 6 on this Friday morning, part 1 of the Morning Ag Show, brought to you by Farm Credit Illinois, by Taylor Tire and Auto of Litchfield, and by Pros Drainage.
Attention farmers, did you notice lower yields in those low, poorly drained areas of your field last year? Or is your existing tile system just not doing the job? Then you need a drainage pro. Call Pros Drainage today, and they'll design a drainage plan and install drain tile that'll give you better soil aeration, along with better root development, increasing your crop yields. Don't wait until it's time to plant. Schedule your tile installation now so you can get back into your field sooner come spring. Call Greg at Pros Drainage in Girard today.
Finding a loan to get closer to what matters shouldn't be complicated, according to Rural First Loan Officer Luke Fraley.
What makes Rural First really unique is our fixed rate offerings in country living. So whether you've got a home on 40 acres or a home on an acre, as long as it's outside of town, we've got a fixed rate product for that. On top of the homes, it's ag real estate, recreational, hunting land, and the down payment options start at 15% down with no PMI. Part of what I'm seeing now are families wanting to move to the country, to be closer to what matters to them. You know, there's a lot of people that love to hunt. There's a lot of people that just want the peace. You know, whether you want to have a garden, whatever you're looking for outside of town, Rural First has a product for it.
Get closer to what matters with Rural First Country Life Lending. Visit farmcreditil.com/escape and make the move. NMLS ID 1844469, Equal Housing Lender, all loans subject to credit approval and eligibility.
Taylor Tire and Auto in Litchfield is your headquarters for Firestone Farm Tires and Service. Taylor Tire, your authorized Firestone Tire dealer, is the place to call for all your Firestone Farm Tire needs. And when you need in-the-field service, the folks at Taylor Tire and Auto are trained, experienced, and they have the right equipment to do the job and on time. So when you need Firestone Farm Tires or in-the-field service, call the folks at Taylor Tire and Auto at the west end of Tyler Avenue, Litchfield. Now with part one of the Morning Ag Show, we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thank you very much, Randy, and good morning. Your grain futures from yesterday on Thursday off the Chicago Board of Trade had corn futures higher. Old crop soybean futures closed with double-digit losses. New crop beans, on the other hand, were 9 to 11 cents higher, and wheat prices were mixed following the WASDE report yesterday. Soft red wheat was lower, hard red wheat and spring wheat were higher on a Thursday. First off, in your corn report, and today we do have a full report, post-WASDE, the corn futures yesterday, Thursday, were 6 to 8 and a quarter cents higher at the close. July futures ended the session below the $7 mark, but they traded with a 29 and 3 quarter cent range. USDA's cash prices were unadjusted on the Thursday morning WASDE at $4.35 for the old crop corn and $5.70 a bushel for the new crop 21-22 delivery. USDA's weekly export sales report Thursday showed 189,589 metric tons of old crop corn bookings from the week ending last Thursday, June 3rd, paired with the 1.6 million metric tons of shipments. Old crop commitments were 69.3 million metric ton, the equivalent of 2.73 billion bushel. The USDA has updated export forecasts is for 2.85 billion bushel, up 75 million from the May WASDE report. New crop corn bookings were light at 26,376 metric ton. That's a 17-week low and below the 200 to 600,000 metric tons of expectation. Old crop beans closed report day with double-digit losses in the old crop of 13 to 18 and a half cents. New crop beans, on the other hand, were 9 and 3 quarters to 11 and a quarter cents higher, tightening the spread to 84 and a half cents. Soybean meal futures closed $4 to $5 a ton lower. Soybean oil futures were $1.13 lower in July to 5 cents higher in the September. USDA reported 15,673 metric tons of old crop beans were booked for export on the week ending back Thursday, June 3rd. That was the lowest weekly sale since the 92,000 metric tons of net cancellations reported for the week ending April 1st. There were 278,687 metric tons of beans shipped, bringing the marketing year-to-date shipments to 57.75 million metric ton, equal to 2.2 billion bushel, USDA's June old crop export figure is for 2.28 billion bushel, unchanged from the May. New crop soybean bookings were reported at 105,000 metric ton this week, bringing the forward book to 7.555 million metric ton. And moving on into your wheat prices, they were mixed overall, but spring wheat futures were the biggest mover on the day higher, ending with double-digit gains as of much as 12 cents in the front months. Kansas City wheat closed 3.5 to 5.25 cents higher. Chicago Board of Trade soft red wheat futures ended the session firmly mixed, within a penny and a half of unchanged. USDA raised the winter wheat yield by a bushel per acre to 53.2, raising the national winter wheat crop by 26 million bushels to a 1.309 billion total. All wheat production is forecasted at 1.898 million bushel, which was slightly above the trade average guess that implies a constant spring and Durham wheat production of 589 million bushel. The increase to the winter wheat output came despite a 36.67 million bushel cut to Washington. Kansas saw the largest nominal output increase, adding 77.55 million bushel of production on a 2 bushel per acre better yield. Nationally, hard red wheat was upped by 40.6 million bushel, while white winter wheat was cut by 18.42 million bushel to 771 and 202 million, respectively. So let's go back over and recap those grain futures numbers from yesterday, Thursday, off the Chicago Board of Trade. July corn closed at 6.99, up by 8.25. September corn 6.38 1/4, up 6.25. December new crop 6.75 cents higher at 6.16 1/2. Soybeans for July closed at 15.44, down by 18.25. August beans down 13 at 15.10. November 21 soybeans up by 11.25, 14.59 1/2. Finally, in your wheat, July Chicago wheat closed up a penny and a half at 6.83 3/4. Kansas City wheat up 4.5, 6.40 1/4. Minneapolis wheat up by 11.25, 7.75 1/2. Now we'll move on and take you to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield for Thursday's Cash Grain Report.
This is Thursday's Board of Grain Prices Trends prepared by the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices were mixed on Thursday afternoon. This morning's USDA supply and demand report raised soybean carryover by lowering crush. They also raised soybean production in Brazil by a million bushel. Corn ending stocks fell to their lowest levels since 2013 by the increase in ethanol usage. And Brazil corn production was lowered by almost 4 million metric tons. In northern West Illinois country, grain dealers quoted shell corn bids up 8 cents at 6.95 to 7.21. Soybeans bids are 19 to 24 cents lower at 15.16 to 15.40. In central Illinois country, grain dealers quoted shell corn bids up 8 cents at 6.89 to 7.19. Soybean bids were 17 to 19 cents lower at 15.20 to 15.81. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids are up 5 to 9 cents, 6.95 to 7.34. Soybean bids are 19 to 29 cents lower at 15.16 to 15.62. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were down 5 to 19 cents at 15.54 to 15.84. Basis was steadied up 14 at 10 over to 40 over the July. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids were 8 cents higher, 6.99 to 7.39. Basis was changed at option to 40 over the July. Illinois River barge loading elevators quoted their produced corn bids up 8 to 9 cents at 7.25 to 7.26, with basis unchanged up 1 at 26 over to 27 over the July. Soybeans ended down 18 to 19 cents at 15.42 to 15.55, with basis steadied up 1 at 211 over the July. New crop wheat prices are 2 cents higher at 6.43 to 6.63, with basis steady at 40 under to 21 under the July. East St. Louis barge loading to my place, sir, produced corn bids up 8 to 10 cents, 7.41 to 7.42. These elevators lowered their soybean prices 22 to 23 cents, quotations at 15.64 to 15.65. Soft wheat closed up 2 cents at 6.95 to 6.96. Milo ended the day 7 to 8 cents higher. And contract bids producers for October-November delivery, corn in the northern part of the state at 5.82 to 6.07. Soybeans at 14.24 to 14.38. And in the central part of the state, October, November, corn at 583 to 607, soybeans at 1425 to 1448. And in the southern part of the state, corn for October, November delivery at 582 to 636, soybeans at 1420 to 1477. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Moving on now to your livestock numbers from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. Your front month cattle futures closed the Thursday session with gains of 17 to 27 cents. The feeder cattle markets found afternoon strength and closed 12 to 30 cents higher. Lean hog futures trading left the board mixed on Thursday as June and the deferred contracts gained 50 to 75 cents, while July and August were 5 to 17 cents lower. First off, in your cattle markets, front month fat cattle futures again were higher by 17 to 27 cents. The CME has not reported any deliveries against the June, as the cash market is still $1.43 to $3.43 above the board. Northern cash sales Thursday were from the $120 to $121 range, matching the weekly trends. Dressed sales for the week so far have been mostly between $190 and $191, with some higher grades sold at $193 on Tuesday of the week. Southern trades for the week have been light from $119.50 to $120 so far. Feeder cattle prices found Thursday afternoon strength and closed 12 to 30 cents higher. The CME feeder cattle index for June 9th was 13 cents lower to 139.91. USDA quarterly beef production was just 5 million pounds higher than the May estimate. Quarter 2 was raised by 20 million pounds, but quarter 4 of last year dropped by the same. Total 2021 production is now estimated at 27.905 billion pounds. Your beef bookings from the weekly export sales report were just over 16,000 metric tons for the week ending last Thursday. That's up 27% from 2 weeks ago, but it's 14% below the 5-week average. Beef shipments on the week are a 24-week high of 21,105 metric ton. Wholesale box beef prices were mixed Thursday afternoon, reducing that choice to select spread to $27.85. Choice boxes were 40 cents lower, $3.3825. Selects were $2.53 higher. And the USDA, through 4 days of the week through Thursday, has cattle slaughter at 476,000 head. Your hog futures left the trading board mixed Thursday. June and deferred contracts were higher, while July and August were lower. USDA's national average base hog price for Thursday was $4.72 higher to $119.72. The CME Lean Hog Index for the 8th was 94 cents higher at 118.71. June 8th was this past Tuesday. USDA trimmed the expected 21 pork production again, with quarter three dropping to 6.93 billion pounds. On a net pork production is forecasted 30 million pounds lighter to 28.191 billion pounds. Pork export bookings from the week ending back on June 3rd were 19,684 metric tons. Data suggests that's a 3-week low and down 35% from the 5-week average. Pork exports were also a 22-week low of 27,487 metric ton. Pork cutout futures were also mixed Thursday, closing within 57 cents of unchanged. USDA's national pork carcass cutout value was 33 cents lower in the Thursday afternoon release at 134.05 rather. Rib primals were another $20 a hundredweight cheaper, and the USDA has estimated the federally inspected hog slaughter through Thursday at 1.93 million head. Again, that was through yesterday, Thursday. So recapping your livestock numbers from yesterday, Thursday, off the Board of Trade, June fat cattle 17 cents higher at 117.57, October fat cattle up 22 at 124.20, August feeders 12 cents higher, 148.40, September feeders 15 cents higher at 150.90. Finally, your hog futures had June up 50 cents, 122.45. August hogs 5 cents lower at 118.70. And the June pork cutout was 32 cents lower at 134.75. Now we'll move on and take you back to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield for Thursday's Cash Livestock Report.
This is the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Thursday afternoon livestock report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded 472 higher in a range of 10170 to 135, with the weighted average carcass price of 119.72. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sow prices were steady, with moderate demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows weighing under 400 pounds traded at $38 to $41, 4 to 5 weighed at $40 to $44, 5 to 6 weighed at $43 to $46, and over 600 pounds at $45 to $49. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, prices for barrows and gilts at the country buying points were firm, with moderate to good demand for moderate to heavy offerings, ranging from $75 to $80. Packer receipts for barrows and gilts totaled $17,454. In the Direct Cattle Trade from the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, steers on a live basis traded at 120 and on a dress basis at 190 to 202. From the National Daily Pork Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts was established with 305 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was 134.05, which was 33 cents lower. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading mixed. Choice carcasses were $338.25, which was 40 cents lower. Select carcasses at $310.40, which was $2.53 higher. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 121,000 compared to 120,000 last week and 116,000 one year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 482,000 compared to 470,000 last week and 455,000 one year ago. That concludes our livestock report. This is Katie Lemonager with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And that's all for part one of the Morning Ag Show, brought to you by Pros Drainage, by Taylor Tire and Auto of Litchfield, and by Farm Credit Illinois. Radar shows no precipitation in the mid-Illinois listening area at this time. This check of radar weather brought to you by the M&M Service Company.
Times have changed, and so has the way you can access your grain account information. M&M Service Company is proud to introduce our new safe and secure grain app. Get 24/7 account access from your smartphone, iPad, or tablet, which gives you the ability to track scale tickets, contract statuses, settlements, and open balances on any grain in DP, open storage, and in held. You are also able to view cash bids as well as a futures market. Plus, it's free for growers. Contact your local M&M Service grain staff to verify your contact phone number is on the accounts you wish to view before trying to log into the app.
And for today, sunny skies, high temperatures in the mid-90s, and light north winds. Tonight, partly cloudy with a slight chance of scattered showers, low temperatures in the low 70s. For tomorrow, Saturday, partly cloudy, again a slight chance of showers, highs in the low 90s. For Sunday through Tuesday, clear to partly cloudy skies, low temperatures in the mid-60s, high temperatures in the mid-80s. Right now at the Weather Center, partly cloudy skies, 69 degrees on this Friday morning. And this check of radar weather brought to you by the M&M Service Company. A quick reminder, the Scottville Rural Water Company remains under a boil water order until further notice. Part two of the Morning Ag Show brought to you by the CNB Bank and Trust.
If you're considering investing in farm property or need help taking care of the family farm, CNB Bank and Trust can care for your agricultural assets in a profitable and sustainable manner while providing complete accounting and USDA reporting. Stop by and visit with Matt Slidham to see how CNB's farm management and agricultural consulting services can help open doors for you and your family.
Trust and Wealth Management Services, not a deposit, not FDIC insured, not insured by any federal government agency, not guaranteed by the bank, and may go down in value.
And once again, we joined WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thanks again, Randy. Now here in Ag News for a Friday morning, and lots of news to tell you about nationally and locally for this Friday morning. Yesterday, the June World Agricultural Supply and Demand Report, or the WASDE, offers minor changes from the month of May. This month of June's corn outlook is for reduced beginning and ending stocks. Beginning stocks are down by 150 million bushel, reflecting projected increases in corn used for ethanol and export. Corn used for ethanol increased 75 million bushel, and weekly ethanol production data indicates demand is almost back to levels that were seen before COVID-19. The season average farm price received by producers is unchanged at $5.70 a bushel. The month of June's U.S. soybean supply and use projections include higher beginning and ending stocks. With higher soybean beginning stocks and no use changes, ending stocks are projected at 155 million bushel, up 15 million bushel from the month of May. The season average soybean price is unchanged at $13.85 per bushel. Finally, the outlook for wheat on the month of June is for larger supply, higher domestic usage, unchanged exports, and slightly lower ending stocks. The projected price is unchanged at $6.50 a bushel for wheat, compared to $5.05 at this time last year. And, of course, over the Memorial Day weekend, we told you about the JBS hack, and JBS ended up paying $11 million to those hackers behind the ransomware attack late last month in May. In a press release earlier this week, the company confirmed the payment. At the time of the payment, most of the company's facilities were operational. However, in consultation with internal IT professionals, a third-party cybersecurity expert, the company decided to mitigate any unforeseen issues related to the attack and ensure no data was exfiltrated. JBS USA leadership states the payment will prevent any potential risk of our customers. The hacker group Revil indicated the cyber attack that shut down JBS packing plants for at least a day. Upon learning of the intrusion, the company contacted federal officials and activated its cybersecurity protocols, including voluntarily shutting down all of its systems to isolate the intrusion, limit potential infection, and preserve core systems. The company is not aware of any evidence that any customer, supplier, employee has been compromised or misused with their data as a result of the situation. We'll move right along now into FFA news, and of course this week was the final wrap-up of Part 3 of the 93rd State FFA Convention up in Springfield. The convention this year was held on the state fairgrounds at the grandstand. Some local FFA chapters got some recognition and some hardware as well, and we'll go over what happened for you at the state convention over the last few days. Greenville and Highland during the convention had the following award presented to them. They received the Foundation $3,000 Club Award recipient. Greenville was recognized for coordinating a local campaign for the Illinois Foundation, which raised at least $3,000. Greenville's chapter fundraising total was $8,000, and Highland did the same, and they raised $3,000 on the nose. During the convention, Lincolnwood had the following awards presented to their chapter membership. Jordan Gerlach was a major state FFA officer candidate, and elections were held yesterday, Thursday. She was also awarded the Outstanding Section President Award. She was one of 8 Outstanding Section Presidents in the state who achieved the highest degree of excellence during their year of service to their chapters in their section and the Illinois FFA. And Sam Turnus won the state proficiency in ag processing. He is the son of John and Darcy Turnus of Raymond. Litchfield FFA chapter had quite a few awards going to one individual from Litchfield. Alon Bader was installed as the new FFA president for Section 15. She also was the agricultural education state proficiency winner. She also won the Power Structural and Technology Systems AgriScience Award, and Alon was also recognized as a top 10 chapter president during her last year at Litchfield as president. Her advisor there at Litchfield is Matt Blesko. Also during the convention, Ty Nodal of Nokomis won his Beef Product Entrepreneurship State Proficiency Award. Ty is the son of Mark and Julie Nodal of Fillmore. His advisors there at Nokomis include Melissa Hartke and Hannah Riedel. The Taylorville FFA chapter had quite a few members take home awards over the last few days. First off, Toby Winans was the Ag Services State Proficiency Award winner, as well as the State Star in Agribusiness for his book. Toby owns Winans Drone Services and assists customers and agronomists make their decisions to improve their yield and adjust their farming practices. Toby is the son of Jacob and Laura Winans of Blue Mound. Lizzie Schaefer of Taylorville was the state winner in the Prepared Public Speaking CDE, as well as the AgriScience Animal Systems Research State Proficiency Award winner. She's the daughter of Aaron and Sue Schaefer of Awanico. Gracie Corso was the AgriScience Integrated Systems Research State Proficiency Award winner. Gracie's the daughter of Matt and Abby Corso of Taylorville. The Diversified Crop Production Entrepreneurship State Proficiency winner went to Lance DeClercq. He's the son of Trenton and Wendy DeClercq of Stonington. The Animal Systems AgriScience Award recipients were Drew Mickey, Jay Beiler, and Lizzie Schaefer. They were recognized as three of the top participants in Animal Systems, one of the six systems categories in Illinois FFA AgriSciences Fair. Plant Systems AgriScience Award winners went to Jocelyn Williams, Stephen Franklin, Tucker Winans, and Isabel Norris. And the Social Systems AgriScience Award winners went to Abby Erlenbush and Abby Norris. Again, all the Taylorville FFA Chapter Award winners had their advisors as Katie King, Lori Parks, and Sue Schaefer. Members of the Vandalia FFA Chapter were recognized at the state convention as well. They had the state winning team and dairy cattle evaluation non-reasons for a discovery team. The team was comprised of Logan Smith, Allie Willenborg, Cassidy Anderson, and Alexi Hartlieb, along with Elizabeth Cable. The state dairy cattle evaluation non-reasons high individual was Cassidy Anderson of Vandalia. She was recognized for winning overall individual spots. And the Outstanding Chapter Reporter Award went to Avery Isringhausen of Vandalia. She was recognized as one of top 10 Outstanding Chapter Reporters and the state for her exemplary dedication and diligence in communicating with chapter members and local media. The FFA advisor at Vandalia is Mandy Totten. And yesterday, Thursday, the state officer team was elected and the convention wrapped up for another year. Yesterday, Thursday, the five major state officers were elected and will now serve the state FFA for the next 12 months. The newly elected FFA officers are Adam Locher of Keynes in Wayne County. He belongs to the Wayne City FFA chapter. State FFA vice president is Jayton Schaefer of Farmer City in DeWitt County. He goes to the Blue Ridge FFA chapter. Reporter is Lauren Moore of Carlock in McLean County. She goes to the Normal West FFA chapter. Secretary Gracie Murphy of Macomb in McDonough County, member of the Macomb FFA chapter. And treasurer is Kara Freebairn of Ottawa in LaSalle County, and she belongs to the Serena FFA chapter. The five officers were elected from a group of 10 candidates selected by a committee in early May, one of those being Jordan Gerlach of Lincolnwood in our local area. Each officer will now put their collegiate pursuits on hold for a year to serve the Illinois Association FFA in a full-time capacity. They typically travel more than 20,000 miles visiting FFA chapters all over Illinois and FFA professional settings and promoting agriculture education. Since 1929, Illinois has elected a state FFA officer team. Moving on now from the wrapped-up FFA convention in Springfield to the ongoing 169th Macoupin County Fair in Carlinville. Yesterday, Thursday, was another big day at the fairgrounds with the concert by Hardy at 7 p.m. That was preluded at about 6:30 by the Macoupin County Junior Livestock Show going into its 18th year, started back in 2003. Auctioneers for the evening were Mike Crabtree and Rick Stewart. Many businesses were on hand, bidding on 11 hogs and 2 sheep. We'll have more information as we receive it here for the farm show. But again, another successful night for the Macoupin County Junior Livestock Show that took place last night, Thursday. Also yesterday, I spoke with Brandon Oxley yet again about the Junior Livestock Show this time, and he explains how the show means so much to so many.
Being on the fair board for as many years as I have, my favorite part of the fair absolutely is going down to the junior livestock auction. Seeing our junior exhibitors being able to auction off their animals to local companies and individuals and getting to see the rewards for the hard work they put in over the last several months or the last year preparing for show day and preparing for the county fairs around the state. The best part about the way our junior livestock auction is set up is the exhibitor has the opportunity to not only sell that animal, but also continue to show the animal throughout the season and continue to make premium money off of that before the end of the year, where the buyer has the option to either give it back to the exhibitor or have it slaughtered and be able to actually utilize the animal.
Absolutely, and Macoupin County is one of the first fairs of the year, so they've got the rest of the summer to be able to show.
Absolutely, and we're very blessed that county fairs are back this year, and if you've been down in the barns in the last few days and seen the excitement, not only in the exhibitors' faces, but in the parents' and the grandparents' faces, we're really happy to have the agricultural fair back, and we know that this is going to be a great summer for Illinois agriculture in general, but county fairs specifically.
And again, that was Macoupin County Fair Board member Brandon Oxley. In other local news, we want to remind you that today is your last day to register for the Dudley Smith Farm Outreach Meeting. The Dudley Smith Farm is located north of Pena, just off Route 51. This year, the meeting will be featuring research updates on soil health and cover crops, using cover crops with annuals, progress towards soil phosphorus credits, and long-term effects of management practices on nitrogen loss. The virtual public meeting will be held next Wednesday from 10 till noon. That's again Wednesday, June 16th. This meeting is free and open to the public, but advance registration is due by today, June 11th, by going online to go.illinois.edu/DSF meeting. If you need more information, contact the Christian County Extension Office, Taylorville, at 217-287-7246. And in local ag news here from Montgomery County, the USDA Farm Service Agency in Hillsboro is asking all producers who have completed their planting and wish to complete their acreage reporting, whether virtually or in person, to contact them at the office at 532-3361 extension 2. Because they're not only offering limited appointments, same-day acreage reporting should not be expected. After you contact them at the FSA office, they'll work with you on your preferred form of appointment. If you plan to fill out your forms in person, they'd like you to bring all of your maps and plan to complete everything the same day from start to finish, including signing your FSA 578 form. If you go the virtual route, they'll ask you to email or drop off your completed maps to the office before your appointment, and then the day of your appointment, you should expect to receive your 578 form for your review and signature either through an email or through OneSpan for an electronic signature. The Farm Service Agency in Hillsboro looks forward to working with producers either in person or virtually over the next few weeks to complete your acreage reporting. Deadline to file your acreage reporting is coming up in about a month on July 15th. And one last final note for you to remember, we'll be at the Macoupin County Fair one final day for live drop-ins this afternoon. Live from the fairgrounds north of Carlinville, later on this morning is the Open and Junior Beef Show, along with the 4-H Poultry Show later on this Friday morning. And then tomorrow, Saturday, is the Section 15 FFA Fair at the fairgrounds in Carlinville. But for now, that wraps up your Ag News on this Friday morning. But remember, if you have Ag News for us, send it to us by email at WSMI at WSMIRadio.com. So again, for your Friday morning, June 11th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.